Welcome to the Barth Calderon Wealth Protector Podcast. Our founder, Harry Barth, and his son, Brad, are top speakers on asset protection and estate planning to many incredible groups across the country, including the Women Presidents Organization, Vistage, the Young Presidents Organization, the California Apartment Association, and many more. And now, here is your host, Paul Hitchcock.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for jumping on Wealth Protector TV. And I have my guest here, Craig Strom. Craig, welcome.
Thank you. Good to see you, Paul.
Yeah. And Craig is a paralegal with the law firm Barth Calderon, which is an asset protection, estate planning, and business planning firm. This channel, Wealth Protector TV, is to give you value and to help you in some way. And so, Craig, this is an issue that comes up a lot, estate planning. And people think, oh, it's for Warren Buffett, it's for Bill Gates, you got to be a billionaire to have it. That's not true. Just about everybody in America needs an estate plan, but not a lot of people understand, okay, what exactly goes into an estate plan? What are the decisions you have to make? But also, what is the process of getting it done? There's so much noise out there. So my first question to you, Craig, is let's bullet point. What are the important decisions people need to make with their estate plan?
Well, it's actually a fantastic topic, Paul, because you are exactly right that everybody, if you own a home, if you have children, if you have any kind of possessions or inheritance or things like that to leave going forward into a next generation, everybody needs an estate plan. And the process is very straightforward. Really, first thing I like to tell folks is that an estate plan is the hub of the wheel. If you think of a wheel on a car or a wheel on an old wagon wheel, the estate plan is the hub of everything that all the other things that you might do that we do at Barth Calderon, asset protection, incorporations, and fancy legal planning, none of that really matters if it doesn't have something to connect to, and that's the estate plan right in the middle.
Great analogy, and yeah.
Yeah, the process itself is very straightforward. We, with our clients, we get together first to find out if they actually need one and whether they really want one, right? Because you have to want to go through the process because there is a bit of time and commitment to put into that.
Yeah.
Once we have that established, my favorite call to get things started is what we call the drafting call, where we spend an hour or more going through all of the different aspects of the estate plan to document what, for example, a husband and wife or two spouses want to do with their estate, who gets what, who manages the checkbook if they're not able to manage the checkbook. The drafting call is that first step to prepare exactly what it sounds like, the draft of the estate plan.
Can that drafting call, can that be a Zoom or does it have to be in person? So in anybody.
No, it's a great question, Paul, because nowadays, well, you know, the Zoom call has become kind of the norm. So I actually had two last week that were in person and two calls last week that were Zoom calls with folks in other parts of the country.
Okay.
So it doesn't really matter. It works either way.
So on that strategy session, you're going through the important points, advanced healthcare directives, financial power of his attorney, and beneficiary designations, all those important decisions people have to think about.
Right.
You get off that strategy session call, that drafting call, then what happens? Are you sending a physical or digital copy to somebody to check out? What goes on then?
Well, that's good. The important thing to take out of the drafting call is there is often homework. I hear this from folks all the time. Are you going to send me a list of things that you need for the drafting call? Probably not. This is a hands-on walk through all of the aspects of your estate plan. And we want to talk through all the different specific details together. And often people are left with homework, beneficiary questions and things like that. So what happens after the drafting call, step number one, is I follow up with the notes and any open homework items, things that people have to decide, representatives that they might want to adjust or addresses they're missing, things like that.
Okay.
Once we're done with filling in the homework items, then yes, they do receive a digital secure copy of their estate plan draft, so they are able to review it for any changes or mistakes, names that might have been spelled wrong, things like that. And then they're able to approve that draft.
And then the draft comes back to you and the team. And then what, you prepare the final document?
Exactly. So the final document is prepared once we've actually gotten approval on the draft. And we are able to make changes even after that. But once the approval comes back, the final ready for signature documents are prepared, which will often include the deed transfer documents for a primary residence. And then those are sent to the client in whatever format they prefer. Some like physical copies sent via UPS, second day air. Some prefer digital copies that they can print out on their own. And they're able to then get those notarized. And then those signed documents come back to our team so that they can actually be scanned into our secure vault and our server, and then prepared in the final binder for the client.
Got it. And Craig, when somebody does that, I mean, is an estate plan recorded with the local county or anything like that?
You know, that is a great one. The estate plan itself, the living trust, for example, and the will and so forth, and the powers of attorney, they are not recorded with a county recorder's office. We will assist with recording a deed transfer, taking a primary residence from joint ownership and transferring it to a living trust ownership. And we'll record that with the county. But generally, estate plan documents are not recorded with the county.
So if you have an estate plan, then you've got a copy of it. We keep a copy of it. There's a connection there. And if people ask for it along the way, or you want to give it to copies, to your kids or whatever, that's your estate plan. You have it. So,
right. We often actually will suggest, and I learned from an attorney many years ago, and our attorneys at the firm suggest the same things, that having the original copy at home is just fine, often recommended to be in a fire safe, for example.
Yeah.
But if ever someone requested to see the estate plan, it's always better to provide a copy of a power of attorney instead of handing over the original. And there are many cases where our clients will contact us and we can email a secure link to those documents, let's say to a financial institution or something like that.
Right. And then going forward, Craig, once you put your estate plan in place, obviously life is not static. Life changes,
right?
For everybody. People, buy property, sell a business, have kids, have grandkids. I mean, all these things that are going on. And then laws change, estate planning laws and taxes. So I know it's what you've mentioned before is that there's a very sticky process of Barth Callarone's. Once you put an estate plan in place, it's not set and forget. It is flexible enough where it changes over time. And with that sticky relationship, you're staying involved and updating people as necessary. Is that a good way to frame it?
That is absolutely a great way to put it, Paul. The key with an estate plan is that it should be a living, ongoing, evolving document. That it should not just go in a drawer and be forgotten. One of the biggest mistakes, the biggest errors we see in our practice, in our firm, is meeting folks who have had an estate plan in the drawer for a long time, and they have bought and sold several homes since they started their estate plan 20 years prior. However, they never updated their estate plan, and those homes are not properly connected to the estate plan. It's just a simple mistake. So it is always a good idea to reach out and connect with your legal team. If there's any big changes in your life, maybe the estate plan needs to be updated a little bit.
Yeah, because if you don't have the living trust in place, for example, I've heard you again talk a lot about it in the workshops you're doing, is you're subject to probate, which is the court stepping in nobody wants that. But your comment about people forget to put stuff in their living trust, it, now it's outside of it, totally exposed to the courts.
Absolutely.
Public checking it out. Isn't that true?
Yeah, I had to deliver that bad news a few weeks ago, actually, to someone who had contacted me. They were introduced by one of our CPA partners and said, hey, is there anything we can do? And his unfortunately, a father had passed away, lived a long, happy life, but passed away. And a deed transfer had not been done on his primary residence, and it was missed. And the only answer was, unfortunately, his son is going to probate. And I don't know how long it'll take, but it'll be a heck of a process. So
expensive,
messy things.
And so, and the will and the trust, Craig, go together. That's part of the deal, right? It's not one or the other.
Right. Now there's an interesting definition that I learned a long time ago was that a will is really just a list of instructions for the probate court. So if you only have a will, it's just instructions for the probate court.
And
in a very simple way to put it is that we write our estate plans. Our attorneys prepare our estate plans in such a way that the will says everything goes through the living trust. That even if they had to get to probate, the will is designed to wrap everything up and direct attention to the living trust.
Is that what you call a pour over will?
That is a pour over will. That is how the will and the living trust, the revocable living trust, work together. They really don't work if you don't have both. And the will is just a guaranteed ticket to probate. If the family had to go to probate, the will says everything was supposed to go through my trust.
Yeah, great.
That's how they work together.
Craig, excellent breakdown. Love it. I mean, this is just, I just love these nuts and bolts discussions because people hear estate planning and we get the questions, what exactly is that? And people don't do it because they have misconceptions about what it is and who needs it and so forth. So my takeaway listening to you is just about everybody has an estate plan and it's about taking control of your life and getting it in place. And it doesn't have to be pulling teeth, but it does need to be done right and it can be efficient.
Yeah, and it doesn't cost anything to have a complimentary assessment with our team just to learn about the details that might be perfect for you.
Awesome. Sounds great, Craig. Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We'll see you next time here on Wealth Protector TV.
Thanks, Paul.
You got it.